our series of prayer and health in the age of science. This will be the last week of this. We're going to start a new series next week called Bear Witness, where Wes and Nate and Mike and others are going to have a chance to bear witness, to testify the truth that God is percolating in us and tell our stories, and we're excited. But today we're going to finish this, and we're going to watch a video right now, a film that our own Tamara Park put together about our own Bill Morgan and about his story. And it's I'm so excited that we get to share this today. And so I don't want to set anything more up, but wherever you're at, just tune out the distractions and pay attention, because this is a profound, profound story that Bill has to share about the presence of God in his life. So welcome to Warehouse. We're glad you're here.
Hello, my name's Bill Morgan. I've been part of Warehouse since the beginning, so we've been here 20 plus years of Warehouse's existence. Part of my story is my neck was broken in an automobile accident 20 some years ago. Before that time, I was praying to find a job overseas. I was an engineer. While I was looking for a job, I was praying pretty diligently and felt like I heard from God very clearly that something big was going to happen by the end of July. This is 1991, and July 22nd of 91 is when the accident happened. An accident where my neck was broken and my life was dramatically changed. I was praying for something different, and you don't always get what you want in prayer. God is mysterious in his ways, and it's not always a straight line. I couldn't do anything. I was in bed. Everything was being done for me. I was in a tongs, which are a huge set of tongs that are attached to your skull to make sure your neck is in tension. Over the months, I finally sort of walked out of the hospital, not too different from where I am now. So I think the beginning of the healing process for me was the forgiveness part, forgiving the gal who ran into me. Okay, I need to pause again. During that time was one of the first times that they started giving heavy doses of steroids to people with spinal cord injuries. So some of the healing may be due to the steroids. Roxanne was surreptitiously giving me homeopathic remedies, and people were praying. So who knows what combination of all that was helpful for healing for me. I wouldn't say my healing was miraculous, because usually when God heals in the New Testament, you're completely healed and not partially healed. And I feel like I've been partially healed for whatever reason. So I'm remain in the struggle even today. So my prayers have changed dramatically. I continue to pray for healing. Recently, I started praying for breath prayers. On the inhale, Lord, heal me. On the exhale, all of me. Lord, heal me, all of me. And the interesting thing is that during all these 20 plus years, there has been an enormous amount of emotional healing for me and issues in my life where I came to realize my own weaknesses, my own psychological woundedness, and and started addressing that and being honest with myself. So in the middle of all that, there was a tremendous amount of emotional healing, not necessarily physical healing. So again, you never know what you're going to get. God's mysterious in terms of how he works.
Wow. Bill, if you're watching today, thank you. Thank you for your witness to this community. Thank you for that story. We praise God for your story, for your witness within our community. And we marvel, don't we, at how God works, how God has been working in Bill's life through prayer, through treatments, through even suffering, as he's mentioned, as the Spirit is drawing him and us into conformity with Christ. But, you know, stories of prayer and health like this, they are complex and mysterious and holistic and unpredictable. We just want to say, even as we begin to dive into this topic today, that for all of the ways that God has, is, and will heal through prayer and expert care and the inbuilt resilience of our own bodies, we give God glory and praise and we worship him. And at the same time, we stand with those who have prayed and have sought treatment and have not been healed, have not had any or enough healing, and we lament with them, with you. And we feel this collective pain of bodies that wear down and difficulties that don't go away. This is a part of our story too. So for those of you who are feeling that this morning, I see you. More importantly, God is with you. God is with you in that story and knows your pain. And together as a community, we groan along with all of creation, like Paul says in Romans 8. We are groaning with all of creation for the redemption of our bodies and the whole world. And he says, for in this hope we were saved, and yet we wait for it patiently. So in searching the scriptures about this topic of prayer and physical health, there is a vast witness that ranges everywhere from amazing, miraculous healings to mundane physical difficulties and sufferings that persist despite persistent prayer. And I think many of us will be familiar with the miraculous healings, particularly of Jesus and the apostles, which are real and true and such a pivotal part of our faith as Christians. But those exist right alongside these other examples of persistence of physical suffering in the midst of prayer. The most prominent example of this in the scriptures, I think, is the Apostle Paul, who prayed over and over to God to take away what he's calling his thorn in the flesh. It's a physical ailment of some kind. We're not sure exactly what it was, but he writes this about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. What Paul is saying here is a direct result of the gospel of grace and God's power through Christ. He's saying the reality of God's power in Christ working in and through us leads us to rejoice in all circumstances, leads us to rejoice when we experience healing, yes, because God is strong and powerful, and leads us to rejoice when we experience suffering, because in both situations, We get to boast and rejoice in the power of God who gives us strength, both strength for healing and strength for perseverance, and in the midst of weakness, to exalt in God's power. So in either situation, we get to boast in the power of God who is with us always and whose power is displayed through weakness. Now, while the Bible shows there is a clear connection between prayer and physical health, we've named that that connection is mysterious and it lies completely outside of our control. And at the same time, God invites us to bring all of our desires, all of our thoughts, all of our emotions about healing and health into relationship with God, into conversation with God in prayer. And doing so in faith means we have a commitment to rejoice no matter the outcome, no matter if the outcome is increased health or ongoing weakness. I think the most common passage that people think of in the Bible as pertains to prayer and health comes from the book of James. Jesus' brother James is writing this book of wisdom, this epistle of great wisdom, and he gets toward the end of this book, toward this topic, in James chapter 5, verses 13 and 16. So it's here on the screens, but if you have a Bible, look it up in the translation that you have as well. So I'm going to read this, I'm going to make a few conclusions, and then we have a panel that we're going to continue the discussion with this morning. Here's what James says. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and to anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. All right, four conclusions that when I read this passage, I can say this is God's perspective on this issue of prayer and health. The first conclusion is that God is a healer. This is who God is. By his very nature, God is a healer. Ever since the world went wrong in the garden and things were broken, God has been on a mission to heal and restore and make whole. So the world is broken. God is on a mission to restore it. My heart is broken. Your heart is broken. God is on a mission to heal it and to make it whole. Our bodies are broken and they're moving toward death, and God is on a mission of resurrection and new life and healing. This is what God is about in the world. And so physical healing, of course, was a central part of Jesus' activity and his mission, and that is absolutely intentional because it shows that the core of God's character, the core of God's mission and kingdom is vibrant wholeness, restoration, holistic healing. That is our hope. The second conclusion from this passage in particular is that God in his healing mission, in his healing character, heals in a variety of ways. Lots of different ways. Does miraculous healing still happen today as a result of prayer? Absolutely it does. And we could tell stories about that all morning long. In fact, there's a couple more videos that we have in connection with this series. One is a video of my wife telling her story about her mother's miraculous healing in Cameroon. We're going to be posting that online, sending out some of these resources later this week. Would love you to watch that. It is an unbelievable story. And these stories of miraculous healings, they're continuing to happen, and they're continuing to give us reason to give God astonished praise. But God doesn't only heal in miraculous ways. In fact, if we say that God only heals in that way, we'd actually be limiting the ways in which God works in the world. And it is multiple and various. And it is beautiful to consider how God heals through natural processes as well. Through the processes of our bodies and through other physical aspects, even of prayer, as James is talking about them here in chapter 5. So let's look at those. For example, James is saying, if anyone's sick, call the elders of the church and have them pray over those who are sick, which is a reference, I believe, to the laying on of hands. Much like we see Jesus' patterns, when he comes to a sick person, he lays hands on them and he prays over them and heals them. Now, laying on of hands has beautiful spiritual symbolism. It symbolizes the presence of God, the transfer of authority from God to the elders, the solidarity of Christ's body. But the laying on of hands also has physical benefits. So studies have shown that sustained physical touch, like laying hands on someone when you pray for them, can lower blood pressure, build your immune system, release positive hormones like oxytocin, dopamine, serotonin. Physical touch and laying on of hands is actually a part of the healing process. And I don't know about you, but after a year of being in a pandemic where we are keeping distance from each other and not touching each other as much, don't you feel the absence of it? The healing power of touch and how much we long for it? Well, James, as inspired by the Spirit, is saying, yes, we should be embracing the healing power of touch in each other's lives, and it is a part of the process of when a sick person is calling for prayer that we would do that. So that's a beautiful part of it. And then James mentions anointing with oil, which is also fascinating because, like laying on of hands, anointing of oil has spiritual symbolism of the Spirit's presence and the anointing of power, but also it has beautiful healing properties. So I think that here, this is an example of essential oils being used in Scripture, where the essential oils of plants are delivering little chemical packages through neurotransmitters in your skin and through electromagnetic frequencies are having enormous healing impact on your limbic system, on other aspects of your holistic being, your psychosomatic health. This is a part of it. Oils are a part of how God heals when we pray. Oils and touch and care beyond this moment of praying are all a part of how God heals. And there's one more aspect too. I don't know if you caught it toward the end. James talks about confession of sin as a part of the healing process. You see that? So confessing sin, of course, on a theological level, it clears away barriers to a full, beautiful communion with God. It develops that relationship we have with God in Christ, and it contributes to our spiritual health. But confessing sin also increases our physical and emotional health. If you've ever thought about it this way, but think about the practice of releasing guilt and shame. Think about the naming and forgiving of ways that we've hurt each other, and how the lifting of some of these burdens spiritually and emotionally, physically, the weight of these burdens has a clear, enormous impact on our health. There's so many studies out there about the impact of stress on our holistic health, and if anything helps to reduce stress, it is confessing sin openly to each other, saying, would you free me from this burden? Would you forgive me? It's incredible, the power there, not just spiritually, but physically and emotionally as well. So God heals in a variety of ways, supernaturally, naturally, through physical touch, oil, confession, treatment, a host of all kinds of holistic ways. But when we think about healing, we have to make this third conclusion, which is that God does not heal on our timeline. God heals on his timeline, on an eternal timeline. So the statement in James here, that the prayer of faith will lead to healing, it seems unconditional, right? And there is a sense in which we need to accept it as such. God is a healing God. There is a promise that God will heal, but we are not given a promise as to when. We are not given assurance as to the exact order of things and what the result will be, when and how. God could heal now, he could heal later, he could heal sometime in the future, or he could wait to heal until this person is raised up literally in their resurrection body. We don't know. The prayer of faith is powerful and effective. We say yes and amen, but only God is sovereign over the healing process, supernaturally, naturally. This process of healing is not a process that we can control. And whether that's in terms of timeline or results. And so just the final conclusion to make before turning over to our panel is that we affirm this morning with Scripture that prayer is an integral part of the healing process. We need to embrace all of the ways that it is, but not in a way that we can predict or control. We affirm this connection between prayer and healing, and it's real, and it's amazing, and it's mysterious, that at the end of the day, it is all about God. It is all about God, not about us. If we could control it, if this is truly about us, we would be assured of particular results, and we would be masters over God, and we are not. God is God, we are not. God is the one who's in control. God alone gets the glory for healing every single time. And so just to summarize, we're concluding overall testimony of Scripture and specifically James 5. God is a healer. When God heals, he heals in a variety of ways that bears testimony to God's work in the world. God heals on an internal timeline, and we have the opportunity then to boast in God's strength, whether in health or in weakness. And prayer is an integral part of the healing process, but not in a way we can predict or control. So I hope that gets us going a little bit down this road. Love to call the panel up to come and join me. I'm going to let them introduce themselves, so we'll wait for that. Come on up here, guys. Hello. All right, thank you for joining me. So we get to continue this conversation about prayer and health a little bit. Why don't you start by names, in case all those at home and in the building don't know who's up here with me, and what you do for your job, how that's connected to health and healing. Why don't we start right here, Christy?
My name is Christy. I am a labor and delivery nurse. I went back to school when my youngest was 5, and so I've been a nurse for almost 9 years, and that's where I've been the whole time. So I think people's perspective a lot of times when they hear labor and delivery, they're like, oh, that's so sweet. It's really intense.
Okay. So. Can't wait to hear more. Catherine?
Hey, my name is Catherine Martin. I am a nurse practitioner. I work...
It's okay. Put it nice and close. It'll help.
I work in the field of endocrinology. I've been a nurse for just a little bit longer than Christy, and it was my experience with labor and delivery nurses that made me want to become a nurse. So I worked in nursing and then as a diabetes educator and now as a nurse practitioner. I work mostly in the clinic in the outpatient setting, and I also work downtown at CMC Maine in acute care once a month. So a little bit of both, mostly chronic disease management. But I have to be honest, Wes, when you asked me or put this out there, I assumed you wanted to talk to me about my experience with exercise.
Okay. Hey.
Because it's so integral to me for prayer and physical health. I just had no idea until I got your questions. I'm like, oh, it's because I'm in the medical field.
Well, exercise works too.
I'm Ann Laurie. I'm an occupational therapist. So I work with children, preschool up to school age, and I work on improving their functional daily life. And that's motor skills, improving motor skills, fine motor skills, gross motor skills, visual motor skills, sensory motor skills of all children of neurodiversity and different developmental delays. What I do.
Awesome. Well, so we're acknowledging this morning that in this topic of prayer and health, and God's part of this process is it's mysterious and it's complex. God works in all kinds of ways to heal. But thinking specifically about prayer, I'd be curious for yourself personally or for clients or patients, how have you seen prayer in beautiful ways, just starting on that side of things, the role of prayer in the healing process, or things you've witnessed, open up to stories, or whatever you want to share, in no particular order.
So one of the first things I thought about was a patient I had in 2019, and they had come in, her water had broken, she was preterm. They knew that the baby had congenital anomalies that were not compatible with life, and she chose to carry. And it came time for her to deliver. And they were people who loved Jesus. And we were kneeling at the bed, and her husband just said, "Jesus, if you can, please heal my son. But if you don't, I surrender." And he was born. He lived for about an hour and a half. And I can fully say I remember so much about it. I remember his name. I've kept in touch with him. But I feel like that was a time of really, God was present in the midst of suffering, present with them through that whole process. And yet they cried out, they still asked. I mean, it was a beautiful, brutal, hard day.
I knew you'd have good stories. Yeah, I think in acute care it looks different than it probably does in chronic disease management. And I think to be a little bit woo-woo, maybe if I say that, expand the definition of prayer and the way it looks in my profession, it's not always a crying out. But I do think that maybe in even my conversations in the day-to-day, that prayer, that even in talking and listening, that we are praying and crying out. I think that in my own personal life, when I walk with friends or when I talk with my husband, but also absolutely when you're talking about pain and suffering and what it means to live with lifelong pain and suffering, as in chronic disease. And so I think for me, it's played out a little bit differently, but no less impactful when someone is sharing their heart, and I think we are asking for something else. I hear it a lot too. I heard it a lot last week when Kristen and Ross were talking. I think even in their, I just really do, in their professions and what they do, it is a prayer that looks a little bit different than when we're crying out in, you know, in a moment of grief or expectation. So that's how I see it, and I really feel it.
Yeah, I think we all have different ways that we experience prayer. I see small victories and prayers for the next step. So I see the small victories and the prayer that sometimes I work with preschoolers, and sometimes it's parents get, it's when they go to preschool that they see that their kid is a little bit different than the rest. And sometimes that is, it's a hard wake-up call, because they're just realizing that there's some delays. So just walking with parents to say, let's pray for a new perspective. And I'm not allowed to say pray for a new perspective, but often you do see parents and people share that, okay, I've got to depend on God and God created my child to be. And so celebrating those things and just the prayer for a new perspective, the prayer for the strength to help their child do the next thing that is difficult, that is not, that's easy for one child, but difficult for their child. So that makes a parent's heart hurt as well. So just prayer for the next victory and being able to pray for the next, even a small step, but it's the next step.
So on the flip side, I asked this question last week as well. Have you run across any situations, perhaps where there is a Jesus follower who you're working with, or elsewhere, another kind of situation where prayer has been utilized in a not positive way, in a destructive way perhaps, in a misleading way, where you'd say, you know, I don't think, that doesn't feel appropriate, or I wouldn't encourage you to incorporate prayer in that way. Can Can you think of any examples like that?
I can't think of any examples, except for I hear people to say, you know, if I only had enough faith, or if I prayed harder, I wouldn't have to be dealing with this complication or this struggle, or my child wouldn't have been born this way. And so they, so a lot of times blaming themselves and their lack of prayer or lack of faith. I think that's pretty destructive.
Yes, indeed.
I don't see this necessarily specifically at work, but I'll see posts where God has really heard my prayer because he's answered the way that I wanted him to. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I personally wrestle with that when I see that. It just, for me, it's, so does that mean that God's not present with me when he doesn't answer the way that, does that make sense what I'm saying?
Naming that as an action of God and not this over here.
Exactly.
It can be dangerous. Yeah, anything to add?
I think my first response was no, I have not noticed. But then when Anne spoke, I had someone even just last week who talked about something similar. And we do talk about prayer in my exam room, and or God, or you know, all of it. And I think just reaffirming that I don't think God works that way. You know, I don't think so. I will say it out loud to them that they're not worthy of being heard, or that there's anything that any one of us did to deserve. You know, for in my experience, chronic disease, you know, and everything that comes with that. So I think I hear that sometimes, but not necessarily in prayer, but more of like a belief system, like I did this or I wasn't righteous enough, you know, to have my prayer answered.
Right. If prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, then either I am not righteous or prayer is not actually powerful. So it raises lots of questions. But if we're affirming that God is beyond how we understand the situation, that God's in and through and working no matter what, but not according to our idea of what the result or outcome should be, then that changes the whole outlook. Mm-hmm. So speaking of outlook, when you're thinking about your own vocation, your healing vocation, is there a way in which that has being in occupational therapy and on these different spheres, has it changed the way that you think about prayer? Feel like being in these spaces, has it challenged you when it comes to prayer or encouraged you in some unique ways? I do think, you know, this connection between prayer and health, you're on the front lines of all of this. So just curious, and how does that impact you?
Well, I pray for strength and energy every day. Yeah. It's really loud. Sorry. And a creative mind. So for myself as well as the students that I work with, to work with what they have and adapt and not focus on what they cannot do, but they can. So prayer is daily, all the time, and even if it is just like, okay, Lord, just give, you know, just strength for this next thing that takes all energy and all my strength, but just, and also, really, like I said before, the creative mind for myself and for the student, to be like, what can we work with? What is there that we can work with? And every single time, God shows up, and I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord, that worked, and so, that I do.
So personally, I also pray for my own self and my medical decision-making capacity and abilities. Is particularly when I'm walking into the acute care setting, it feels like a big weight on my shoulders, especially when I'm walking in alone. There are things that I can do or not do that can affect someone's life for a long time. And so I pray for wisdom, and I pray for just the ability to critically think. I mean, I really do. And that I also have people around me who can help me. Like, I ask, you know, I do. I beg for that. And then just, you know, for my own experience with medicine, you know, in the miraculous, like, I've seen so much, you know. And I think there are stories on every side. And I tend to think that there is a mostly a natural process behind a lot of it, and that we have a lot, there's a lot we do and do not know scientifically and medically, and that's evolving as we evolve. You know, I think we'll discover more, and now we have names and known processes for things that were considered completely miraculous in the past, and we have a something to point at and say it's this thing and not that thing, but I don't necessarily know that having names for something makes it any less miraculous. And so I think even as we know more or discover more, you know, some of that may feel less out here and more in here, but maybe it's all the same and connected. I generally think that prayer is something that's been given to us, you know, as a gift to help relieve pain and loneliness and to, you know, deregulate those emotional initial responses that we have and like create space for our thinking brain and for the Holy Spirit to guide us and move us into connection with what is happening, you know. And I see that, I hear it from my patients, I see it, I feel it myself, but I still have those basic prayers like, see me, help me, what the heck.
Those are good breath prayers. What the heck?
Yeah, I'm not, I tend to be an anxious person, and labor and delivery, it can change at a dime. I mean, it can, everything can be going smoothly, and then all of a sudden it's not, and we're back in the OR with the stat C-section, or we have a baby whose heart rate's dipped, and we're having to do interventions, or have a patient that's hemorrhaging, and I mean, there's just can be all number of things, and so, I'm constantly praying as well, and in fact, yesterday I walked in, and the supervisor, the charge nurse said, we've picked this patient for you, and they had had a tragic death in their family in the early hours of the morning, and her water broke, so holding space for them, for both intense grief and joy in seeing their baby being born the same day. So I kept saying, Jesus, please come. Jesus, please have mercy. Jesus, please come. Please have mercy. Please come. Please have mercy.
More breath prayers. Well, as we move toward wrapping up and kind of addressed it already, Catherine, I love just because we have a name for something doesn't mean it's more miraculous. It's actually really beautiful. But is there a time when, particularly as a result of prayer, but in general, that you've experienced something in your vocation that, like, I can't, and no one can really explain what's going on here in terms of healing? We either don't have the name for it yet, or it truly is outside of those processes in the name of miraculous. Have you encountered anything like that?
I got another story. I think it's both and. Like, it's our team, you said, you know, it's a group. I'm all constantly, please come and help me. Please come and help me. And I had a patient who was had delivered her baby, and everything was great. And then suddenly she kept bleeding and kept bleeding and kept bleeding and kept bleeding. And we called a rapid response. Her blood pressure was 50 over 30, which for those of you who don't know what normal is, yes, geez, you can confirm that that's really low. Yes. And so we went back to the OR, and she got 38 units of blood products. Yeah, wow, right? She lost pretty much all of her blood volume. And I remember, I don't even remember saying any specific prayers, but just like, please, please, please. And she basically went into what's called DIC, which is disseminated intravascular coagulopathy, which means she just was bleeding from every orifice. Ended up in the ICU, and I met through a translator, talked with her husband, and said she doesn't look the way that she normally looks. She was swollen. She was bleeding from her eyes. And her brothers came in, this was pre-COVID days, years and years ago, and her brothers came in, and I don't know what they prayed. They kneeled at her bedside, and I kneeled with them in the STICU, and I saw her 2 days later, and we both just cried. She was in postpartum. She was living, which was miraculous to me. So.
I knew you'd have good stories. There's so many in the hospital, I think, you know, because you like often are teetering the line between life and death in the ICUs, and so it's both. It's both. And I think sometimes in medicine we can do all the right things and the outcome you expect doesn't happen. And honestly, sometimes you can do all the wrong things and a different outcome occurs. And, you know, it can be heartbreaking, probably more often than not, and encouraging. And I don't know, like, my response is just to show up and do the best I can. I think in the time of COVID, you know, something that I've really noticed, prayer or God's response or whatever it is, I mean, there's so many unpredictables and unknowns, especially with acute care patients in COVID. But the way I think I've seen him, God, move through with the people that I work with and the response in the middle of fear and the unknown has been so powerful to me, something that I've seen over the course of this year that I would have never lived through before. And I see those elders from James played out in different churches, like as they've been needed to be in jobs like y'all's. And it's pretty miraculous. Like, it's pretty cool and heartbreaking and amazing, all of it. But I have no acute care stories. Sorry.
Yeah, no, there's no emergency in occupational therapy. Thank the Lord, is right. One story came to mind, though, that I worked as a translator for doctors many years ago, and there was a group of us praying for a woman who, she was having seizures, but there was no medical explanation, well, that they knew of, and it was just, they just started with prayer. And then somebody just said, I just feel sugar coming to my brain, sugar, 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 sugar. She had low blood sugar. But so I feel like prayer, and you're a part of any part of the healing process. And so that happened to be like, oh, well, she had low blood sugar, and so medically you can take care of that, but just seeking God in all of those things. And so I feel that way with every step of OT, and that the miracle of God, just even what Kristen and Ross shared last week with the neural pathways, that God is so mysterious. There's so much we don't know of how God created our body. I worked on a burn unit, and there was skin graft surgery. So you can take a part of your legs and repair your burn. And just how God orchestrated the body to heal itself is in itself a miracle.
Thank you guys so much for sharing today. I know there's so many more stories we could tell. Thank you for, you know, the work that you do, for how you are a part of that healing process through which God works, and also that happens through the body of Christ as well, that we heal each other through relationship. So thank you for being a part of that. I'd love to pray for us as we close and pray for you as well. God, thank you for what we've been able to bear witness to this morning, and even just these tidbits of people's stories that are so sacred, hard sometimes, and yet amazing. Thank you for Christy's work, Catherine's work, Anne's work, all of the healers and therapists and doctors in our midst who are so integrally tied to this process of physical healing. May you sustain them. Continue to give them wisdom, the breath prayers at the right time to center and to be connected to you and to their the people before them. I just thank you for their gifts, and thank you that that's so evident here, but also every day that they engage in the vocation you've given them. Thank you, God, that we can claim you as healer this morning, even though that is mysterious and complex, and we are not in control of how you work. Thank you that we can acknowledge the breadth of your work and all the variety of ways that you heal. And we pray that you would give us the grace to rejoice today, tomorrow, in our own stories and situations of healing and in situations of weakness. Spirit, may you equip us to groan and continue to connect with you in all the ways that that keep us in tune with your Spirit. Thank you how you're doing that even now in our midst as we worship you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.